الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This class will focus on the explanation of the verse from Surah An-Nur 24:35 pertaining to one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this name is An-Nur, the light. It means Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. The parable of his light is as if there were a night, and within it a lamp. The lamp is in a glass, the glass as it were a brilliant star, lit from a blessed tree, an olive one, neither of the east, meaning neither it gets sun rays only in the morning, nor of the west, neither meaning nor it gets sun rays only in the afternoon, but it is exposed to the sun all day, whose oil would almost glow forth of itself, though no fire touched it. Light upon light, nurun ala nur, light upon light, Allah guides to his light whom he wills, and Allah sets forth parables for mankind, and Allah is the all-knower of everything. An-Nur is one of Allah's names as well as one of his attributes. The name is derived from his nur, from his light, which is an attribute established in his essence with his self. An attribute established with his that, with his essence, with his self, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light, nur, of the heavens and the earth. In this ayah's construct, Allah's nur, Allah's light, is related, and this is in the Arabic grammar is called mudaf, annexation. Allah's nur is related, mudaf, to the heavens and the earth, as-samawat wal-ard. Some had interpreted this ayah such that Allah Azza wa Jal is one who illuminates, meaning munawwir, the one who illuminates the heavens and the earth and guides their inhabitants. This is from his actions. Otherwise, it does not preclude the fact that the nur, the light, which is one of his attributes, is established with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is common for the salaf, rahimahumullah, for the righteous predecessors, may Allah's mercy be upon them, to mention all or some of the meanings of the attributes pertaining to Allah's names. By mentioning some of the meanings, they don't negate the other affirmed qualities of such names. As such, one of the meanings signified by Allah being An-Nur, the light of the heavens and the earth, is that He has illuminated the heavens and the earth and guided their inhabitants by His light. The saying that the meaning is restricted to His illumination of the heavens and the earth by certain planets like the sun, the moon, the stars is wrong. The saying that the meaning is restricted to His, Allah's illumination of the heavens and the earth by certain planets, sun, the moon, the stars, is wrong, because the illumination by their light does not cover the entire universe, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah asserted. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon starting the night prayers of tahajjud, saying laka alhamd anta nurus samawati wal ard. In the agreed upon hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to invoke Allah, saying all praise is due to you, you are the light of the heavens and the earth. You are the light of the heavens and the earth. Second, the texts from the Quran and authentic Sunnah relate An-Nur, the light, to Allah according to the following angles. A. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a nur related, meaning conjugated in the grammatical context, to Himself as an attribute of His that, of His essence, the same as His other attributes of light, sight, of life, of sight, of knowledge, of might, and so forth. Allah, most majestic and most magnificent, says, وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورِ رَبِّهَا. And the earth will shine with, listen carefully, with the light of its Rabb. Allah, when He will come on the day of resurrection to judge among men. This is in Surah Az-Zumar 39 verse 69. And if the earth will shine with His light, then He subhanahu wa ta'ala is a nur, is a light, as stated by His messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are the light of the heavens and the earth. Anta nuru samawati wal ard. B. That An-Nur, the light, relates to His most honorable and most majestic face, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, radiyallahu anhu, said, نور السماوات والأرض من نور وجهه. Allahu Akbar. نور السماوات والأرض من نور وجهه. The light of the heavens and the earth is from the light of His face. Grammatically, the term light, which is annexed to Allah in the context of this ayah, means and the earth will shine with the light of its Rabb, is not an annexation denoting possession, creation, honor, or preferment, as it is the case in many verses of the Noble Quran, including, for example, Baytullah, Bayti, my house, mentioned in the ayah, which means that they, Ibrahim and Ismail, may purify Baytiya, my house, meaning the Kaaba, for those who circle it or stay in i'tikaf or bow or prostrate themselves near it in prayer. as in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 125. Also including Naqatullah, Allah's she camel, mentioned in Allah's saying, which means this Naqatullah she camel is sent to you, O Prophet Saleh, as a sign, so allow it to graze in Allah's earth. Chapter 7 verse 73. So I will repeat, grammatically, the term, the light, which is related, meaning annexed, to Allah in the contracts, in the construct of this verse, quote, and the earth will shine with the light of its Rabb, its Lord, is not an annexation denoting possession, creation, honor, or preferment, as it is in the case with Baytullah or Bayti, and Naqatullah, she, Allah, she can. Part C. Allah's light, Allah's nur, is also related, meaning in Arabic, mudaf, annexed to the heavens and the earth, as in his sayings in this verse, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light, nur of the heavens and the earth. D. Light is Allah's hijab, is Allah's veil. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, light is his hijab. If he uncovers it, then subhatu wajhihi, then the brightness, the splendor, the majesty and greatness of his face would burn his creation so far as his sight reaches. There is no contradiction between the interpretation that this ayah, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth, means that Allah Most High is the munawwir, the illuminator of the heavens and the earth, and between the saying of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, in which the nur, the light, is related to Allah's self, the interpretation that Allah is the munawwir, the one who illuminates, or hadi, the one who guides the heavens and the earth, is true. Because, لِأَنَّهَا مِنْ إِضَافَةِ الْفِعْلِ إِلَى فَاعِلِهِ, because it relates the act, which is the verb of tanweer, of illumination, to the active, quote, subject, meaning Allah the Most Magnificent. And there is no contradiction whether one says that Allah is the nur, the light of the heavens and the earth, by himself, bidatihi, or bifi'lihi, or by his act. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, quote, the truth is that Allah is the nur, the light of the heavens and the earth, taking into consideration all of the interpretations. Being the munawwir, the one who illuminates, and the hadi, the one who guides, does not negate the fact that he himself is a nur. Is nur. Those who negate Allah's attribute of an-nur erred by thinking that if they would affirm the attribute of the light, it would mean that Allah is the light falling upon walls and gardens, etc. The fact, however, is that the created light is an effect of the attribute of an-nur, of the light. We know that ar-Rahma, mercy, is an attribute of Allah established with him. The rahmah, mercy present on earth, is an effect of Allah's attribute of the mercy, of his mercy separated from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of the creature is a distinct and separate effect of Allah's attribute of knowledge. And the saying of Abdullah bin Mas'ud does not mean or imply that the light on the walls, on the surface of the earth, is the essence of the light of Allah's most honorable face. So, light is Allah's hijab. The Prophet ﷺ said, light is his hijab, is his veil, If he uncovers it, then the subuhat, the brightness, splendor, majesty and greatness of his face would burn his creation so far as his sight reaches. In another narration, instead of the word light, listen carefully, it is fire. It's due to the doubt of the narrator Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. And this is reported by Muslim. Both narrations stating the light and the fire are in Sahih Muslim. The pure fire which Allah mentioned in the Quran when he subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa is also called a light. And it is a light which illuminates without burning. Allah has also called the fire of the lamp a light, as in this verse. Contrary to the dark fire of hell, which is not called a light. Therefore, the doubt of the narrator between the words light and fire does not prevent from affirming that the light is his hijab, is his veil. As Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah explained, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said, quote, there are three kinds of a created light. There are three kinds of a created light. The first is characterized by ishraqun bila ishraq, illumination but without burning. And this is the pure light like that of the moon. The second kind, burns without illumination. The second kind burns without illumination. And this is the dark fire, a black burning fire. The third being a light and a fire. The third type is a light and a fire, like the sun. Also, the fire of the lamps in this world is described by being both a light and a fire. End of quote of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's citation. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah added, quote, this is the case with the created and witnessed lights. The hijab, the veil of our Rabb Allah, most blessed and most high, is a nur, light, and it is a fire. All of the three kinds of the created lights are real relative to their proper classifications. And if the light of Allah's creation, like that of the sun, the moon, and fire are real, then how could His light be not real? Then how could His light be not real? The light of His face is real too, and fits His majesty, and it is not figurative. The cases of the aforementioned angle represent situations in which the sifa, the attribute of an-nur, the light, has been related to its mawsuf, to what is being described, as Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah classified them. The second angle is the idafa, the annexation, the relating of the of the maf'ul, of the object, to its fa'il, to its active subject. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said, this is mentioned in the saying of Allah the Most High in this verse, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ. The parable of His light is as if there were a night, and within it is a lamp, and the lamp is in a glass, the glass as it were a brilliant star lit from a blessed fire, an olive neither of the east nor of the west, whose oil would almost glow forth of itself, though no fire touched it. Light upon light, nurun ala nur, light upon light. Allah guides to His light whom He wills, and Allah sets parables for mankind, and Allah is the knower of everything. It means the parable of Allah's light in the heart of His believing slave, the one having the greatest share of this light is His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This light relates to Allah being the one who grants and bestows it upon His slave. It is also related to the slave. Why? since he is its place, mahalluhu, and favorable recipient, qabiluhu. This light has, number one, a fa'il, an active subject, and a qabil, a recipient, and a mahal, place, and a hamil, a carrier, and a madda, a substance. I will repeat. This light has a fa'il, an active subject, a qabil, a recipient, a mahal, a place, a hamil, carrier, and a madda, substance. The ayah we are talking about, this verse from Surah An-Nur, mentioned earlier, comprises all of these matters in detail. How? The fa'il, the one who does this, is Allah Most High, the one who makes the light to abound, who guides to His light whom He wills. This is the fa'il, the one who does this. The favorable recipient, al-qabil, is the believing slave. The place of reception, mahallul qubul, is the believer's heart. The hamil, the carrier, is his motivation, determination, and will. The madda, the substance, is his sayings and actions. This is what Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah explained. Then he added also, the light which Allah puts in the heart of the submitting Muslim is faith in Allah. Faith in Him, knowledge and love of Him, and remembrance of Him. It is His light, the Quran, which He brought down, the origin of which is in the hearts of the Muslims. Its substance strengthens and increases until it appears on their faces, their limbs and their bodies, even on their clothes and in their homes. On the day of resurrection, this light emerges and runs forward before them. نورهم يسعى بين أيديهم. The believer's light will run forward before them, as Allah stated in Surah 66, verse 8. On the day of resurrection, this light emerges and runs forward before them amidst the darkness of the bridge of the Sirat. The bridge, what is the bridge? The Sirat, the bridge over the midst of hell. It is extremely slippery. On it there are hooks, claws and bars. Over it mankind will pass. The believers, as the Prophet ﷺ explained, will pass like the blink of an eye, like the lightning, like the wind, like the birds, and like the fast horses and camels. Some will be saved, some will be lacerated, then set free, and some will be thrown into the fire of hell. As reported in Sahih Muslim, we seek refuge in Allah from that day. On the day of resurrection, Ibn al-Qayyim therefore continues, this light emerges and runs forward before them amidst the darkness of the bridge, the Sirat, until they cross over it. The intensity of their lights on the bridge will correspond to the intensity, strong or weak, of the respective lights in their hearts in this life, in this dunya. The similitude of this light and its place, its career and its substance, is as the night mentioned in the verse. Which is like the chest of the believer. Which is like the chest of the believer. Inside the night there is a glass from the most crisp and clear kind. In this verse, It is even made to resemble brilliant star in its clarity and purity. This glass resembles the heart, al-mahal, the place. The similitude to the glass is because it embodies qualities present in the heart of the believer: clarity, smoothness and firmness. It sees the truth by virtue of its clarity. Kindness, mercy and affection originate from it because of its smoothness. It stands firm in holding to the truth, and it makes jihad against the enemies of Allah due to the firmness in its structure. In contrast with this enlightened heart, there are two other opposing and blameworthy hearts. One of them is a stone-like, harsh, merciless, lacks beneficence, reverence, and the clarity by which it can see the truth. In fact, it is as an ignorant and a tyrant heart. It is neither aware of Allah, the truth, nor it is merciful to the creation. Opposite to it is a weak, watery, neither firm nor strong, and everything good, evil, wicked, etc. that mixes with it affects it in its own way. In the glass there is a lamp. In the glass there is a lamp, and it is the light and nur that is in the wick. The wick in the lamp is the light carrier. The wick in the lamp is the light carrier. Al-hamil, the carrier. And the substance of the light is the olive oil extracted from the olives of a tree growing in the most suitable place by being exposed to the sun rays all day long. Its oil is from the purest of its kind, clear, without turbidity, to the degree that it will almost glow forth of itself. As such is the substance of the believing heart. It is from the, quote, tree of revelation, end of quote. It is the greatest blessed thing and most distant from deviation. What Allah reveals in His revelation, the books, and or inspires to His messengers. The strength of its roots in the heart of the believer depends upon his compliance with its content. That's why there is a variation amongst the degree of faith amongst Muslims. Some are stronger than others in their adherence to the teachings of Islam. And there are the obedient and the disobedient Muslims. Those who mix the substance, al-madda, with ways not condoned by Islam became corrupt or were led astray. If they don't repent and clean their hearts and follow the way of revelation, they may subject themselves to the punishment of Allah, which may manifest itself in different ways on the individual or on the society levels. When the way of uncontrolled lust and desires takes over the heart of man, he will turn away from the revelation and may choose for himself ways, quote, of worship, end of quote, or religions, so called, that ascribe best to his desires. The goal becomes the life of this world only, turning man to forget as to what occurs after death. He is overwhelmed by so called developments taking place around him in all walks of life, and wants to keep, quote, on track, end of quote. Life runs to drug stores asking for pills to ease down the rush, or to therapeutic clinics to relieve the worry and the sad heart, or to suicide, sometimes taking others with them. So as such is the substance of the believing heart. It is from the tree of revelation. It is the greatest blessed thing and most distant from deviation. Indeed, it is the most just, intermediate, and best of all matters. It did not deviate like the deviation of Christianity and Judaism. In all things, it is bound to a medium course between these two blameworthy extremes. Since the clarity of this oil is so intense, such that it almost glows by itself, and then upon mixing with fire, its illumination as well as that of the fire substance of light intensifies, then this becomes light upon light. Nurun ala nur. So is the believer. His heart is lit such that he almost knows the truth by means of his fitrah, of his natural inclination and intellect. His heart, however, has no substance within itself. But when the, quote, the substance of the wahi, of the revelation, touches his heart and the latter rejoices in its company, its light, meaning of the fitrah, increases by the light of the wahi, of the revelation. The light of al-wahi, the revelation, adds up to that of the fitrah, and it becomes light upon light. So the believer would almost speak the truth, even though he may have not heard an evidence. The believer would almost speak the truth, even though he might not heard an evidence. He later hears of the evidence to be identical to what has been attested to by his natural inclination, by his fitrah. Thus, it is being a light upon light. This is the status of the believer. He acknowledges the truth in general by means of his fitrah. He then hears of the textual proofs from the Quran and or authentic traditions presenting what he has acknowledged, but in details. His faith, therefore, stems from the attestation of al-wahi, the revelation, and the fitrah. This explanation is based upon Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, in his book Al-Wabil al-Sayyid. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten our hearts and to straighten our fitrah by the revelation الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.